Okay, I have to thank the organizers. It's an honor for me to be included in the program here and given the opportunity to honor Wendell and to revive some old arguments about primitive and more advanced issues. So Wendell has always been a great source of exasperation to me and to many other people. And the theme of this talk goes back to the early days. The first time I met Wendell, I think, was in Geneva in 1982, in April. And Charlie was there and Lou was there. And that started up quite a lot of the thinking, my thinking about pheromone evolution that has been going on over the years. Wendell has advanced a lot in the meantime, I guess, but I still fight with these issues. And I currently have two PhD students in my lab that have contributed to the later part of this talk and contribute to more advanced issues. Marjorie Lienard, that is working, has been working on the saturases in a primitive moth, and Jean-Marc Lassons, who has been working on pheromone evolution, is working on pheromone evolution in corn borers. What it's all about, well, it's about explaining the enormous diversity of pheromones within the Lepidoptera, but at the same time there is a conservatism in the use of chemical structures. And back in 1983, I think it was, Wendell announced one of his many hypotheses. This has been a rather long-lived one, the Delta 11 desaturase hypothesis, explaining the pheromone components present in the cabbage looper and in many other moths as well. Why doesn't it forward? Okay. And for those of you who are not really into the field, one advanced enzyme, the Delta 11 desaturase, by interaction with saturated fatty acid substrates, it can produce, in interaction with chain shortening enzymes and reductases and acetyltransferases, it can produce a whole variety of different compounds. When I came to work in Wendell's lab in 1983, I was assigned a project on some primitive New Zealand tortricids that's produced somewhat unusual pheromone components. Z8 tetradecenyl acetate, that one couldn't easily be accounted for by a delta 11 desaturase. But Wendell had something else in his mind. On his mind, it was a delta 10 desaturase that was postulated. And if the delta 10 desaturase interacts with the saturated 16 carbon acid, and if there is chain shortening, then you have the delta 8-14, and that one can be reduced and acetylated, and you have the primitive pheromone component there. Wendell went further than that. He even proposed that to evolve from the ancestral ubiquitous delta 9 desaturase, the delta 10 desaturase, he proposed, was an intermediate in the evolution of the advanced delta 11 desaturase. And this he published with Lou in 1983, I think it was, 84. Okay, I came to work with Wendell, and I got these leaf rollers to analyze that Stephen Foster and others nicely provided from New Zealand. And sure enough, we found the expected intermediates, and I wrote up the first draft of the manuscript, and as you can see, there wasn't much that survived of the abstract, so Wendell simply crossed out that section where I suggested that, well, as the delta 11 desaturase is so widespread, occurs in all kinds of Lepidoptera, that has to be the ancestral form, and then the delta 10s evolved from that. But no, Wendell didn't like that idea, crossed it out, and revived his delta. He didn't like that one, and he instead wrote up this alternative explanation. And when you come to the discussion, it looked even worse. There was nothing left, and over you have the rest of it. Okay, reviewer two saved me. So it went into the journal, and the reviewer wrote no, and gave some reasons for that. Let's see, the suggestion that a SID10 desaturase is somehow an evolutionary intermediate between a SID9 and a SID11 desaturase seems uncalled for. The authors should either make an argument for this or eliminate it. And okay, what happened was that it was eliminated. And in the final publication, there wasn't much of the discussion remaining. Some reference to the results and acknowledgement of discussions with Lou Bjostad. It's a pity that Lou is not here. Okay, I will bring it a little bit further. Speaking about pheromone evolution and this primitiveness and advanced characters and so on and so forth, there is a certain value associated with these words, which makes it's difficult to use them, maybe. So maybe we should instead speak about ancestral and derived, or maybe this word that Wendell introduced to me the first time, plesiomorphic or apomorphic characters. The problem with using these is that not very many understand what you are talking about, except for the real phylogenetic freaks. Okay. The arguments with Wendell started my interest in looking for pheromones in some really primitive moths, not these rather advanced totricids, but some of the more basal lineages in the Lepidoptera. And based on that, we can conclude that the Delta 11 desaturase has evolved very early in the evolution of the Lepidoptera, because it occurs outside Dytrysia, it occurs at least in one other of the heteroneuron lineages, the Protoxida incular ruidea, that diverged from the Dytrysia at least 120 million years ago. So what is the evidence for this claim then? Well, quite some years ago we identified the pheromone of Lampronia capitella, and it's a doubly unsaturated structure, including double bonds in 9 and in 11 position. And there are at least three possible pathways leading to this structure, and all of them include delta 11 desaturation, but one of them include delta 11 desaturation only. And we hypothesized that this pheromone structure was biosynthesized from palmitic acid by the interaction of a delta 11 desaturase, followed by chain shortening and a second round of delta 11 desaturation to form this doubly unsaturated structure. And well, the alternative routes you can see here, you could of course start by chain shortening, delta 9 desaturation and delta 11 desaturation. Or delta 11 followed by delta 9. And we characterized the desaturases, and Wendell was very helpful providing advice and information about yeasts to be used and so on and so forth. We characterized four desaturases from the abdominal tip of this primitive moth species. Three of them were obviously delta 9 desaturases, but the fourth one was a candidate for a delta 11 desaturase. It shows high similarity with a number of other delta 11 desaturases that have been characterized, including the typical motif. And then of course the critical step, as Wendell has preached during a number of years, I think, is to do the functional assay. And so we did. We expressed the gene in yeast, and first of all we demonstrated that the monounsaturated fatty acid precursor Z1116 acid can be produced from saturated 16 acid from palmitic acid, which would be the first step in this pathway. And secondly, we demonstrated that also the diunsaturated fatty acid could be produced by the same gene when inserted in yeast. So I think that's proof that delta 11 desaturation occurs very early, occurs very early in the evolution of the Lepidoptera. If you look at the tree showing similarities between different desaturases, there are two subfamilies that occur exclusively within the Lepidoptera. It's the delta 11 family that includes also the only characterized delta 10 desaturase. You may correct me, Wendell, if I'm wrong. And there is a delta 9 desaturase family. Delta 9 desaturases have a preference for 18 carbon substrates over 16 carbon substrates. These have no autologs in any other orders but Lepidoptera. This group, though, should be the ancestral lineage, because in this subfamily you find many Dipteran representatives as well. This slide can also be used for the transition to the second half of the talk that will be about delta 11 and delta 14 desaturases. Recently, Wendell switched from primitive to ancestral, and this paper was published in 2002, I think, Evolution of Moth Sex Pheromones via Ancestral Genes. And this is a story about pheromone evolution in the corn borers, the Asian corn borer and the European corn borer. The European corn borer is familiar to all of you, I guess. Z11 and E11-14 acetate are the pheromone components. Asian corn borer clone identified Z12 and E12-14 acetate as pheromone components in this species, but it wasn't clone, but Zhao Chenghua, in collaboration with myself and Wang, that worked out the pathway leading to the production of the Asian corn borer pheromone, including delta 14 desaturation. Wendell was extremely critical at that time and strongly advocated that it should be a delta 12 desaturase instead, as far as I recall. But the evidence was there. These are the pathways leading to the European corn borer pheromone, 16 carbon acid, chain shortened, delta 11 desaturation, whereas production of the Asian corn borer pheromone that differs by just by the position of the double bond involves quite a different desaturase that interacts with the 16 carbon substrate, and then after chain shortening the delta 12 14s are produced that can be reduced and acetylated. Wendell and Alessandro Roni and Charlie Lin and others who I've not met personally, I think, worked on this intriguing shift between the use of the two genes and suggested a mechanism, reciprocal desaturase gene non-functionalization in these two corn borers has resulted in a change in pheromone composition between these species. And then they point out that what is unusual about the non-functional genes in Ostrenia is that they are well conserved and even possess intact open reading frames. And in the pheromone glands of both species, they could find the transcripts of all the three desaturases, the ubiquitous delta 9, delta 14, and the delta 11. Maybe it is not so strange after all that it's well conserved, and this is a recent study, still waiting to be unpublished. It has traveled between a number of different journals, and the reviewers may be out there. We can have primitive and advanced arguments afterwards. The male corn borers also have pheromones produced and released by these hair pencils. And it turns out that these pheromones components are in structure they are related to the female pheromone components. This is the bouquet produced by males of the European corn borer, the Z strain, Z916, Z1116, and here the exciting Z1416 turns up, and the saturated 16. It was initially GCEID studies that draw our attention to these structures, and although there is some activity here as well associated with the 14 carbon homologues, most of the EID activity comes from the 16 carbon acetate region. And if you remove these hair pencils with these compounds from the males and supplement the males, the operated males, with hexane, the mating success will be significantly reduced. If you supplement these operated males, these operated males with extracts of hair pencils or with a synthetic mix, then you are able to restore the mating success of these males. We also show that females actually make a choice. If they are provided with males of different age, day 0, day 2, day 4, the oldest males have the highest mating success. But I have to underline that this probably only applies in insects. So you shouldn't have too high hopes about this, Wendell, now when you have retired. But yeah. Okay, if you look at the secretions produced by these males, the production of the Z916, the 16, and Z1416 remains pretty constant over time. At least there are no statistically significant differences, but the production of Z1116 acetate goes up. If you compare the hair pencil secretions in Z-strain males with E-type European corn borers and Asian corn borers, it seems that it's the presence or absence of Z1116 acetate that discriminates between these different males. That was three individual males. This is what it looks like if you look at a number of them and do a discriminant analysis, and you get most of the separation in the dimension that includes the Z1116 acetate. These are the Asian corn borers, and here are the E and Z type corn borers. Okay, we have no real evidence for it, the raison d'etre of the hair pencils, but at least it's tempting to suggest that as there are these clear differences between the different strains and between the European and the Asian corn borers, they may play a role in reproductive isolation, because we know that these two pheromone strains of the European corn borer can crossmate in the field, and you can in the laboratory produce hybrids between the Asian and the European corn borer. So, okay, functional or non-functional, that's the question. Comparing the female pheromones in the European corn borer, obviously the delta 11 desaturase is functional, producing pheromone components. The delta 14 is functional, producing pheromone components in the Asian corn borer. But if you look at the males of the European corn borer, well, then it's not too far-fetched to suggest that the delta 14 desaturase is involved in the production of the male hair pencil components, although we did not do the labeling experiments. But we looked at the transcription, presence of messenger RNA produced from these genes, and sure enough, if you look at the pheromone glands, European corn borer Z strain females, they contain transcripts both of the delta 11 and the delta 14 desaturase gene. If you look at the abdomen of the males, they contain transcripts of both the delta 11 and the delta 14 desaturase gene. So at least when it comes to transcription, both genes are active, both in females and in males. In the females, there is no functional protein, or at least there is no biosynthetic product produced. But if you look at the extracts of the males, you find fatty acids corresponding to all of the four pheromone components. And this is evidenced by analysis of the MDS adducts of the fatty acid methyl esters. There are the typical ions of Z9-16 methyl ester, the Z11-16 methyl ester, and the E and the Z14-16 methyl esters. So all of the expected precursors are there, as you can see from these analysis of the MDS adducts. Okay, so I think we have a rather strong case here to claim that the genes are actually functional, both when it comes to production of transcripts and when it actually comes to the production of a biosynthetic product. Some advanced conclusions on the saturase evolution, and we'll see if Wendell will agree or not. Expansion of the two moth-specific desaturase subfamilies started very early in the evolution of the Lepidoptera. In the primitive Lepidoptera, I would say, both the delta 11, delta 10 subfamily and the delta 9, with a preference for the 18-carbon substrate. The mechanism for gene functionalization, non-functionalization, really remains to be clarified. I mean, the transcripts are there, both in males and in females. The products, the biosynthetic products, are there only in the males. And I think that we should focus more on studies of post-transcriptional regulation if we want to understand what is going on. And then I also think that the pleiotropic effects of the desaturase genes in the corn borer on female and male pheromones may facilitate this shift between the delta 11 and the delta 14 between the two species. And of course, it can also explain why it remains functional, it remains intact, although it's not used in the female, it's used in the male. So finally, I would like to thank Marjorie, who did almost all of the work on the Lampronia, with some support from Thomas Johansson, Erik Hedenström, Maria Strand, and myself. Jean-Marc Lassens, who is dragging these corn borers ahead. Chenghua Zhao, I would like to point out, who I collaborated with on the delta 14 desaturation in the Asian corn borer. And Alessandro Rooney, who has providing different ideas in discussions and being very, very helpful with suggestions. And whenever Wendell is around, there is a lot of smoke, and there is no smoke without fire. So, this was very late at night. I have to apologize, not for the motif, but for the bad quality of the picture. So thank you, Wendell, for all the inspiration.
Thank you, Chris. Any questions? Wendell, can you repeat the question?
So the hair pencils don't produce delta 40 16 compound, but does it have messenger RNA for that?
I think you have to repeat the question to me first, and then I will repeat it to the audience. Yeah, who did not produce what?
Asian corn borer hair pencils. Do they have the delta 14 messenger RNA in them?
We have not looked at trans. The Asian corn borer males, do they have the transcripts? We only looked at transcription in European corn borers. Of course, you can keep asking questions, yes, but I think that it's not really necessary at this point. But of course, there are a number of follow-up experiments here. It's very tempting to take a look at what is the effect of these hair pencil compounds, the hair pencil male pheromones, in interstrain and interspecies matings, of course, and then you should look at the transcription both in Asian corn borers and in E strain males. We have not that yet, but hopefully we will make it that far. I think the thing here was to demonstrate that the non-functional Delta 14 was actually functional in the European corn borer, at least in the males.